but those of his acquaintances who came, since he did not permit them to enter, often used to spend days and nights outside, and heard as it were crowds within clamoring, dining, sending forth piteous voices and crying, "Go from what is ours! What dost thou even in the desert? Thou canst not abide our attack." So at first those outside thought there were some men fighting with him, and that they had entered by ladders, but when stooping down they saw through a hole there was nobody. They were afraid, accounting them to be demons, and they called to Anthony. Then he quickly heard, though he had not given a thought to the demons, and coming to the door he besought them to depart and not to be afraid. For thus, said he, the demons make their seeming onslaughts against those who are cowardly. Sign yourselves therefore with the cross, and depart boldly, and let these make sport for themselves. So they departed fortified with the sign of the cross. But he remained in no wise harmed by the evil spirits, nor was he wearied with the contest, for there came to his aid visions from above, and the weakness of the foe relieved him of much trouble and armed him with greater zeal. For his acquaintances used often to come expecting to find him dead, and would hear him singing, "Let God arise, and let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before his face. As smoke vanisheth this, let them vanish. As wax melteth before the face of fire, so let the sinners perish from the face of God." And again, "All nations compass me about, and in the name of the Lord I requited them." And so for nearly 20 years he continued training himself in solitude, never going forth, and but seldom seen by any. After this, when many were eager and wishful to imitate his discipline, and his acquaintances came and began to cast down and wrench off the door by force, Anthony, as from a shrine, came forth, initiated in the mysteries and filled with the Spirit of God. Then, for the first time he was seen outside the fort by those who came to see him. And they, when they saw him, wondered at the sight, for he had the same habit of body as before, and was neither fat, like a man without exercise, nor lean from fasting and striving with the demons. But he was just the same as they had known him before his retirement. And again his soul was free from blemish, for it was neither contracted as by grief, nor relaxed by pleasure, nor possessed by laughter or dejection. For he was not troubled when he beheld the crowd, nor overjoyed at being saluted by so many. But he was altogether even, as being guided by reason, and abiding in a natural state. Through him the Lord healed the bodily ailments of many presents, and cleansed other from evil spirits. And he gave grace to Anthony in speaking, so that he consoled many that were sorrowful, and set those at variance at one, exhorting all to prefer the love of Christ before all that is in the world. And while he exhorted and advised them to remember the good things to come, and the loving kindness of God towards us, who spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, he persuaded many to embrace the solitary life. And thus it happened, in the end, that cells arose even in the mountains, and the desert was colonized by monks, who came forth from their own people, and enrolled themselves for the citizenship in the heavens. One day, when he had gone forth because all the monks had assembled to him and asked to hear words from him, he spoke to them in the Egyptian tongue as follows: "The scriptures are enough for instruction, but it is a good thing to encourage one another in the faith and to stir up with words. Wherefore you, as children, carry that which you know to your father, and I, as the elder, share my knowledge and what experience has taught me with you. Let this especially be the common aim of all, neither to give way having once begun, nor to faint in trouble, nor to say, 'We have lived in the discipline a long time,' but rather, as though making a beginning daily, let us increase our earnestness. For the whole life of man is very short, measured by the ages to come, wherefore all our time is nothing compared with eternal life. And in the world everything is sold at its price, and a man exchanges one equivalent for another. But the promise of eternal life is bought for a trifle. For it is written, 'The days of our life in them are 80 years and 10, but if they are in strength, 80 years, and what is more than these is labor and sorrow.' Whenever, therefore, we live full 80 years, or even 100 in the discipline, not for 100 years only shall we reign, but instead of 100 we shall reign forever and ever. And though we fought on earth, we shall not receive our inheritance on earth. But we have the promises in heaven, and having put off the body which is corrupt, we shall receive it incorrupt. Wherefore, children, let us not faint, nor deem that the time is too long, or that we are doing something great. For the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. Nor let us think, as we look at the world, that we have renounced anything of much consequence, for the whole earth is very small compared with all the heaven. Wherefore, if it even chance that we were lords of all the earth, and gave it all up, it would be not worthy of a comparison with the kingdom of heaven. For as if a man should despise a copper drachma to gain 100 drachmas of gold, so if a man were lord of all the earth and were to renounce it, that which he gives up is little, and he receives 100-fold. But if not even the whole earth is equal in value to the heavens, then he who has given up a few acres leaves as it were nothing. And even if he has given up a house or much gold, he ought not to boast nor be low-spirited. Further, we should consider that even if we do relinquish them for virtue's sake, still afterwards, when we die, we shall leave them behind. Very often, as the preacher saith, to those to whom we do not wish, why then should we not give them up for virtue's sake, that we may inherit even a kingdom? Therefore, let the desire of possession take hold of no one. For what is gainest to acquire these things which we cannot take with us? Why not rather get those things which we can take with us? To wit, prudence, justice, temperance, courage, understanding, love, kindness to the poor, faith in Christ, freedom from wrath, and hospitality. If we possess these, we shall find them of themselves preparing for us a welcome there in the land of the meek-hearted. And so, from such thing let a man persuade himself not to make light of it, especially if he considers that he himself is the servant of the Lord, and ought to serve his master. Wherefore, as a servant would not dare to say, because I worked yesterday, I will not work today, and considering the past will do no work in the future, but as it is written in the gospel, daily shows the same readiness to please his master and to avoid risk. So let us daily abide firm in our discipline, knowing that if we are careless for a single day, the Lord will not pardon us for the sake of the past, but will be wrath against us for our neglect. As we have also heard in Ezekiel, and as Judas because of one night destroyed his previous labor. Wherefore, children, let us hold fast our discipline, and let us not be careless. For in it the Lord is our fellow worker, as it is written, to all that choose the good, God worketh with them for good. But to avoid being heedless, it is good to consider the word of the apostle, I die daily. For if we too live as though dying daily, we shall not sin. And the meaning of that saying is, that as we rise day by day, we should think that we shall not abide till evening, and again, when about to lie down to sleep, we should think that we shall not rise up. For our life is naturally uncertain, and providence allots it to us daily. But thus ordering our daily life, we shall never fall into sin, nor have a lust for anything, nor cherish wrath against any, nor shall we heap up treasure upon earth. But, as though under the daily expectation of death, we shall be without wealth, and shall forgive all things to all men, nor shall we retain at all the desire of women, or of any other foul pleasure. But we shall turn from it as past and gone, ever striving and looking forward to the day of judgment. For the greater dread and danger of torment ever destroys the ease of pleasure, and sets up the soul if it is like to fall.